What a great day. Today is Father's Day. And so I thought we would talk about your father and my father. I mean, if we are Christians, if we have asked Jesus to forgive our sins and be Lord of our lives, then we're all adopted into the same family. And your father and my father are the same. God has become our Heavenly Father. During the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked to the crowd and told them, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." It's interesting. He didn't say, "Pray my Father," like Jesus' Father in heaven. He didn't say, "Pray the Apostles' Father in heaven." You know, that's who he was talking to. He didn't say, you know, the apostles' fathers, or he said, "Pray our Father in heaven." God Almighty is our Father, the Christian's Father. He's our Father. And then when talking to Mary at the tomb after he had been raised back to life, Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Again, we see Jesus is making sure that we know that as believers, as Christians, we are part of the family of God, and He is our Father. So what is our perception of a father? Because that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, some have a good image of a father, one who is kind and loving and always there for them, while others might have an image of a father that they never ever knew. He was never around for one reason or another. Or maybe it was even worse than that. The image of our earthly father, if we allow it to, can taint the image of our heavenly Father. So the question might be asked, what is God, our Heavenly Father, really like? Let's take a minute or two to get a right perspective of our Heavenly Father. One of the first things we hear about our Father is that He is a Father filled with unconditional love. John 3:16 comes to mind because it reveals that God, our Father, loves not just me and not just you, but He loves the whole world. For God so loved the world that He gave. He loves us all. His love has nothing to do with race, with color, with status. Someone can be poor and have absolutely nothing, and God loves them. Someone can be homeless and an addict and on the street, and the Father loves them. Someone can be very, very wealthy, maybe an entrepreneur, and lives in a high-end home and has everything, and the Father loves them. In fact, the Father loves each one equally the same. He loves us all so much that His heart's desire is that none, not one, should perish. In other words, not one should be left out of the family of God. So He made a way for us to be part of that family by sending Jesus, His one and only Son, to pay the price, to pay the penalty for our sin. And as we accept Jesus, what He did for our sins, how He died on the cross for our sins, and as we make Him Lord of our lives, then we become children of our Heavenly Father. John is writing to Christians, and we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. We are the children of God. Not because of what we've done, not because we have money or we don't have money, not because we're Jewish or whatever race. It's because He loves us. And He made the way for us to become His children. Our Father is a Father of love. And love permeates our Father, and out of His love flows His faithfulness. Psalm 119, verse 90 says, "Your faithfulness continues through all generations." Our Father is faithful not only yesterday, in years gone by. He's faithful today. And not only today, for He'll be faithful tomorrow and throughout all generations. He will be faithful forever and ever. Our Father is faithful to forgive us when we come to Him and confess our sins. He is faithful not to tempt us beyond what we can handle. Our Father is faithful to establish us and to lead and guide us to be all that we can be for His kingdom. He is faithful to keeping His promises. Not one of them has ever failed. How many here can say that you've made promises and that every one promise that you've made has never failed? I don't know. I can't say that. But God can. Our Heavenly Father can. See, I had a great dad. But unfortunately, he could not be there for everything. He couldn't be there for all my ball games and all my scouting events because he worked shift work. So he couldn't say, you know, I'll faithfully be there for all your baseball games, or I'll faithfully be there whenever you're having a scouting event, or I'll faithfully be there for sure if you're ever hurt, I'll be there. Or when you've done something great, I'll be there. My dad couldn't make that commitment because there were times, as great as he was, there were times when he was elsewhere. He wasn't with me 24/7. He worked, he slept. Yet our Heavenly Father is faithful to be with us always. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is there when we're filled with joy and things are going well. He is there with us, rejoicing with us. And when we're struggling and having challenges, and there's hurt and there's pain, He is there, wrapping us with His love and His compassion and His mercy. He is there 24/7. There is not a moment in your day, in my day, that our Heavenly Father is not there for us. The Bible states that nothing can ever separate us from Him and His love. That is how faithful our Heavenly Father is. One of the things which a good father will do for his children is that he'll lead them, he'll guide them, he'll give them the advice they need, whether they want to hear it or not. My daughter smiles. But, you know, sometimes my dad gave me advice and I went, that's not really what I wanted to hear, Dad. I really wanted to hear my will, my plans, what I thought was right. But that's what a good father will do. And David wrote in Psalm 32, verse 8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. The Lord is our Heavenly Father. He will guide us and advise us and watch over us. And he just doesn't take us down some generic pathway and say, you know what, Scott, this looks like a decent pathway. It's okay, and you know what, I'll guide you down this one because it's fairly easy, and I think, you know, you might be able to manage this one. No, he says, he's going to guide us along the best pathway for our life. That's all my earthly father wanted for me. When he gave me advice, he just wanted the best for me. And I'd go, no, that's not really what I want, Dad. Now, I know you folks have never struggled that with God, and God's got a plan for your life, and it's the best one. It's the best one. And you've never said, well, that's not really where I want to go, God. Nope. I don't want to stay here till September. I don't want to stay here till my wife hits 70. I was shocked that she said she would stay till 70. Whoa, that's till January, yeah. I was kind of surprised she said that. But, you know, God has the perfect plan. And if that perfect plan for me and for Kath is to stay here until January, Lord, so be it. What if it's March? Yes, what if it's March? What if it's 10 years from now? What if, Lord? That's what my grandsons always say. What if? But God has the perfect plan, doesn't he? And he doesn't say that he's just going to say, here's the perfect plan, go for it. He says, I will lead you, I will guide you on that perfect plan. And I will watch over you on that perfect plan. Like, I mean, he doesn't just go, poof, I'm gone. Here's the plan. Good luck. He says, I will watch over you. He has the most incredible plan, most incredible path for our journey, for us. Our Father doesn't remove all the obstacles. Have you noticed that? You know, like, God, if you got the perfect plan for me, how come it's not smooth and just straight? He doesn't remove all the obstacles, but he walks with us through those trials, through those journeys. As we just mentioned, he never leaves us. And he walks with us, and those trials are so we learn and become stronger in our faith as we go. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Learn from me. Jesus is our, and the Father are one. Our Father wants us to be joined to Him, yoked together with Him as we walk in our journey. As we walk with our Heavenly Father close at our side, we will learn from Him. He will quickly say, this is the way, walk in it. do this. Don't turn to the right or the left. And you notice he's not a harsh teacher, but one who is gentle and kind and filled with compassion. He doesn't force us. He doesn't take us and say, you have to walk down this path. No, he says, this is the best path for you, Scott. This is the best path. But you have a will and you can walk the way you want. I'm not going to take a bat and beat you in as Balaam beat his donkey. That's not what God is like. Our Father humbly and patiently leads us and guides us like a good shepherd. He says, come, follow me. He doesn't drive us. Our Father is also one who is just. And the word just in the Bible carries the idea of one who is free from favoritism and self-interest and bias and deception. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. So he's not filled with favoritism, no self-interest, no bias. No deception. In other words, he does not have one standard for one person and another standard for another. These folks over here don't live by one standard that God has set. These folks, you folks don't have another standard, and you folks don't have another standard. We all line to the same standard. That's why Paul wrote in Romans that God does not show favoritism. Our Father does not show favoritism. He doesn't say, oh, I like Scott better than Pat. No, he loves us all equally. He draws the line in the sand and he says, this is the way, and it's the way for each one of us. The line doesn't shift. It's not wiggly. Our Heavenly Father is loving, faithful, just, guiding and leading us to be more like him. And we could go on talking about what he's like. I mean, we could talk about how he protects and provides and delivers us, and how he is filled with compassion and peace and grace and mercy. And we can go on and on and on. But I think you get the idea that our Father is the greatest Father ever. There is no father above him. He is the best. He is the best. So Father's Day is a day where we honor our Father. In truth, our fathers need to be honored. Our earthly fathers need to be honored, not just on Father's Day, but every day. And probably the biggest way we can honor our fathers is, first of all, obeying them, you know, doing what they ask us to do. And maybe doing it when they ask us. I'm sure my father, my dad struggled with that. Scott, I asked you to cut the lawn. When are you going to do it? You were supposed to do it yesterday. And another way is serving our fathers. And you know, I'm not talking about a dictator, but I'm talking about serving, you know, just spending time with our fathers and just loving them. So what about our Heavenly Father? How do we honor him? And does he really want honor? Well, we read Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. The word honor, which is due to our Heavenly Father, means to be highly respected and highly revered. Our Father desires that from us. He wants us to honor Him. We honor and respect and revere our Heavenly Father by obeying and serving Him, not just on Father's Day, but on every day. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, He told them how they cleaned the outside of the cup, but the inside was still dirty. I mean, it looked good from the outside, but the inside of the cup was dirty. And we read Jesus saying in Luke chapter 11, 42, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all kinds of garden herbs. But you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." What Jesus is saying here is that we can think we're honoring the Father if we come to church and read our Bibles and pray and pay our tithes, and we are honoring Him by doing that. But if we're not loving others as ourselves or growing to become more like Jesus, then we're not honoring our Father. Just in case you've taken what I've said wrong, it's not one or the other, but it's everything. It's everything. We need to honor our Father by praying, by tithing, by loving. We need to honor Him in all those ways, by reading our Bible and obeying all that the Bible has to say. We can't just read the Bible and not put it into practice. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, "But now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." We're to honor our Heavenly Father, not just by obeying Him, not just by walking in all His ways, that's obeying Him, but we're to honor Him also by serving Him. We serve our Father by praying. We serve our Father by reading His Word, by spending time with Him, by worshiping Him. I mean, when we worship this morning, when we gathered before His throne and worship Him, we're serving Him. We serve Him by loving Him and loving others and telling others about the Father and by helping others. And as we do these things, as we serve our Father in these ways, we honor Him. Remember when you first came to the Lord, when you first committed your life to Him, and you said, "Jesus, forgive my sins, and I want you to be Lord of my life, and I'll serve you." And we just wanted to serve Him with everything we had. It's interesting sometimes how time sort of makes things drift and become commonplace, and we sort of maybe don't have that fervency of serving like we used to. Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 11, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That word fervor there means emotionally inflamed. Be emotionally ignited. Be on fire. Filled with the power and the excitement of serving the Lord. Be passionate beyond measure of serving our Heavenly Father. That's how we honor Him, to have that passion and inflamed in us. We read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Today's Father's Day, and we're called to honor our fathers. And fathers, thanks. Thanks, we honor you. Thanks for being men that have raised us. We bless you. Yet, how much more should we honor our Heavenly Father? Not just today, but every day. He's the greatest and best Father. You know, I said I had a great father, but my Heavenly Father is far greater than the great father he gave me on earth. We need to honor him every day of our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and thank you for being our Father, for being one who puts up with us from time to time when we're rebellious and we don't want to go down the path that you want us to go down, or we sidestep something. Thank you for being there when we're hurt and we're challenged. And thank you for being there when we're rejoicing and exciting and we've just accomplished something amazing. Thank you for always watching over us. Father, we honor you. We want to obey you and serve you all the days of our lives. We want to be emotionally ignited for you, emotionally on fire for you, and you alone. May you take the highest place, the highest seat in our lives. May you be enthroned in the center of our lives. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that you would just bless each one of my friends here today, that they would know that they are loved beyond measure by a Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.